You know, in the whole sequence of things, when you start to look at what has really transpired in this country, you are going to absolutely be fascinated by this next hour's interview. Because Dr. Andrew Golisik is going to be joining us to talk about the secret history of secret programs, medical research, and human experimentation. Now, it's not a lot of fun to listen to some of these things, but you know what? When you bring it into the light, you don't fear it as much.
That's exactly right.
And
that's
we start to expose it, and they start to have to be accountable for their actions.
And this is really important because there are many people in all areas of the country that don't know it, but they have been experimented on. This is documented in Senate reports, congressional records, and folks have lost their homes, their farms, their businesses, and their families because of the Department of Defense's experimentation, and they don't want to own up to it.
So stay tuned. Dr. Andrew Golisik will be joining us in this next hour. Get a tape ready. You are going to need it. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Von Kleist.
And Joyce Riley.
We all know that knowledge is power, which is why we call this the Power Hour.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, what is it now?
Well, that couple is on the radio again, sir.
Yes, and I know which couple it is, too. The couple that says that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or sponsors of this radio station. What about it?
Well, sir, they've been getting out so much information about Mr. Bush's military records and the discrepancies of the 9/11 events, and more people are starting to get disgruntled and become awakened. They might just move into the next phase, which would be active participation, demonstrations.
Yes, I know. Well, we've got all that under control.
How so, sir?
Well, you all know that the Army War College document of 1994, entitled Revolution of Military Affairs and Conflict Short of War?
Yes, sir, I remember that document.
Well, you remember the section there about placing a sedative in the food supply, possibly spraying from airplanes drugs that might make the people a little more calm. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
Well, we've implemented stage two. I don't think we'll have too much to worry about. The American people will stay asleep.
Very good, sir. Very good.
Ooh, I don't like that.
I don't either, but unfortunately, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it ain't a moose.
Well, what we're talking about today are the experiments that have been done on us for many, many years. The experiments done on the American public, the American military, in the name of science. And we have joining us today Dr. Andrew Golisik, who received his MS and PhD degrees in biology and physiology from Utah State University, then spent 3 years as a postdoctoral research fellow at Wake Forest University School of Medicine in both the Department of Physiology and Pharmacology and the Department of Medicine. He is currently an associate professor of biology at North Carolina A&T State University, where he teaches biology, human physiology, and principles of endocrinology. And I want to say thank you very much, Dr. Andrew Golisik, for joining us today on the Power Hour. Thank you, sir.
Good morning.
Boy, what a book. I was just telling the listeners, this is the book I wish I could have read. I mean, written myself. I wish I could have written this.
Well, thank you.
This is incredible what you have done.
Yeah, well, you know, if there's one thing that we should learn from our history, is that human beings will do just about anything in the name of science. And, you know, science and medicine is no exception. But we should really all expect honesty and openness. What surprises me, I was hearing you talk about this whole fiasco about weapons of mass destruction. What really surprises me is that people are surprised. We really shouldn't be surprised that the government hides things from us. And we should all expect honesty and openness. We should all have the right to know what we're eating, what we're breathing, what effects the drugs we're taking have on us, whether we're subjects of human experiments or medical treatments. Now, you know, most researchers are decent people with best interests at heart. It's the others that we need to know about and expose. And knowing a little bit about our history and what's been going on will keep us vigilant. And hopefully my book has done that. And my aim really was to inform readers about what's going on. And it's not a blanket condemnation, but I want people to be aware what still may be going on today. You know, history has a way of repeating itself.
That's right. And, you know, when you describe what took place here, then it helps even those that are the naysayers. The guys, you know, we call them the Bubbas on the couch with a beer in one hand and the remote control in the other that say, oh, that couldn't happen here. Well, it makes it very clear to understand it does happen here. And if we are or proactive, it's going to happen over and over and over again.
Right.
Now,
right.
You are not a conspiracy theorist. You are not someone who writes a... books that are always on UFO issues or anything questionable. You come from a scientific background.
That's right. And, you know, when I was doing research for some of my books, I began uncovering a lot of government reports and documents that frankly stunned me. And some of the information was very difficult to get, and I had to do quite a bit of digging to find it. People who have read this book asked me, is all this stuff true? Because it seems so unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I included appendices that have documents, records, congressional reports, letters, and materials that back up everything I write in the book. So everything I write in the book is pretty well documented. It's known. And, you know, I really feel people need to know these kinds of things, especially after 9/11, when a lot of research is once again being done in secret. The problem with post 9/11, for the past two decades, experiments were limited basically to three areas. Infecting people with microbes that were low risk, assessing safety of drugs, determining reactions. And the rule generally was not knowingly doing any harm. But research involving biological and chemical weapons involve exposure to toxic agents and levels of risk that never existed before. And because of national security, there's really no reason to believe that human research is not going to go forward even more rapidly. And a lot of experts and ethicists really fear that new and unproven medications are going to be developed and given to people without really knowing long-term effects. So because of 9/11, lots of things that normally would not have been secret because of national security now will be.
Well, you know, when you describe the items that you have in here, the experiments that you have, you help us to understand literally how they could have been innocuous looking initially, so that nobody really questioned them, including the people that were doing these experiments. And I do want to say one other thing with respect to the appendix that you just mentioned. You've got 115 pages of appendix, because that's the first thing I go to in a book, is to find out how well researched and what documents you use to support it. And you have absolutely done a phenomenal job. And I want to say that, listeners, in covering the Gulf War illness, in covering Operation Paperclip, Tuskegee, I mean, you name it, the information in here helps me to understand how they could have gotten away with this initially without anybody questioning it. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
How did they begin these innocuous experiments so that no one would kiss and tell?
Well, first of all, you know, before we talk about that, I have to mention that some of my appendix was actually left out because the publisher and the legal team thought that some of the things were too controversial. So although the appendix is pretty, like you said, it's about 150 pages or so, there still are things that are too hot to handle. So believe it or not, you may look at that appendix and be shocked, but it was even more shocking before, you know, the editing and the cutting. So,
Man, I'd like to have the book of the appendix cut. Okay.
Yeah, well, I have it, and it's here. Yeah, it's in my living room, and you know, you look at that stuff and you wonder, man, what on earth has happened? But basically, you know, I divided the book into three parts. And the first part deals with, of course, chemical, biological, and radiological experiments. And even these were conducted, for example, back in the 1940s and 1950s when people were really not aware of what the effects of some of these things were. In the 1940s alone, approximately 60,000 or so military personnel were used as guinea pigs to test two chemicals, mustard gas, Lewisite. Most of the subjects were never informed of what was going on. They never received medical follow-up treatment, and they were simply told that they were testing uniforms, they were testing rubber suits, like I said, they were never given medical follow-up treatment, and they were actually threatened if they discussed the research with anyone, including wives and parents, because they were told it was a matter of national security. So, number one, they participated in these experiments because, of course, they were patriotic. They wanted to do something for the military. They were told that the experiments wouldn't be life-threatening. They were given leaves. They were given extra money. And so it was just a matter of, medical experiments and scientific experiments that nobody thought would have any long-term effects. Of course, we now know that they do. So this all started back in the 1940s and the 1950s, principally in response to what the Soviets were doing, what the Germans were doing. So we had to play a little catch-up, especially with the Soviets, because they had a really good biological warfare research program.
You know, my question is, when we get back into the previous experiments that were done, and then we had Operation Paperclip, which brought over some of those doctors to continue their medical research in this country.
Right.
How did they keep people from saying, man, these people that didn't stand trial at Nuremberg are now coming into this country? How did they keep that quiet?
Yeah, we didn't know. In fact, the term Operation Paperclip, the word paperclip was from the method that they used to identify these scientists. They would put a paperclip on their files, and surreptitiously, people would know that this individual was part of Operation Paperclip. And it was a CIA program, a combined CIA-Army program, and the CIA was pretty tight-lipped about that, and they simply snuck people in. They distributed them through the United States into government labs, university labs, and they essentially blended into society, became U.S. citizens, and it wasn't until years later that we find out that we had maybe 800 or 1,000 Nazi scientists working here in the United States. Some of them, some of the worst war criminals during World War II.
And still people don't believe it. We're going to be right back with Dr. Andrew Golisik. Stay tuned. In the Name of Science, you can get it from the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
They brainwashed my great uncle, brainwashed my cousin Bob. They even got my grandma when she was working for the mob. Brainwash you while you're sleeping, while in your traffic jam. Brainwash you while you're weeping, while still a baby in your prom. Brainwashed by the military, brainwashed under duress. Brainwashed by the media, you're brainwashed by the press. Brainwashed by computer, brainwashed by mobile phones. Brainwashed by the satellite, brainwashed to the bone.
That's what this program is all about, is deprogramming, folks. Get out that brain brush, stick it in your ear, and scrub vigorously. There's so much propaganda on the mainstream media. They don't tell you the stuff that you hear on this program or other programs on the Genesis Network. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. Welcome back to the Power Hour. It is 25 minutes past the hour on a Friday the 13th, and this is Dave.
And Joyce, and our guest today is Dr. Andrew Golisik. He is a professor at North Carolina A&T State University. He teaches biology, human physiology, and principles of endocrinology. He has written other books, 2 stress books, a stress management workshop kit, a medical school guide, for which he is known for, 2 novels, 1 dealing with the origin of AIDS, which is called Rivers of the Black Moon, and also a book called World Order. And we have him joining us today to talk about the secret experiments. And I got to tell you, They're more than we realized, and that's the scary part. Back to Dr. Galisek. We're talking about Project Paperclip and how it was so pervasive with 800 to 1,000 war criminals that came into this country, and yet people don't even know about it till today. How is that?
It was pretty secretive, and they had to keep it secret because, of course, you had Nazi war criminals living among us, and so how could you justify having Nazis even doing medical research? So they kept it pretty secret, but word came out, but word got out, and eventually things leak out. And in my book, for example, in the second part of my book, that details CIA programs in drug research and behavior modification, government industry programs that involve things like aspartame, AZT, a chapter on organized medicine. And then the third part really describes research on ethnic weapons, and these are weapons that target people based on their genetic structure or their DNA. And we've been doing this research for at least 30 years. And finally, what the future holds and the kinds of research that will be going on this century. Now, in my opinion, today, two examples of consumers being used as guinea pigs today are aspartame and Splenda, the latest sweetener, and that's even worse than aspartame.
Splenda is worse than aspartame.
Well, Splenda is it's an artificial sweetener, sucralose, which is sold under the name of Splenda. It's 600 times sweeter than sucrose. But it's produced by chlorinating sugar, and this involves chemically changing the structure of the sugar molecules by substituting three chlorine atoms for three hydroxyl groups. And the preliminary research has shown that Splenda can cause shrunken thymus glands, which depress your immunity, enlarged liver, kidneys, atrophy of lymph nodes, reduced growth weight, all kinds of symptoms. And the terrible thing is that if you look at the number of studies that have been done with saccharin, for example, more than 2,000 studies have been done with saccharin, more than 600 with aspartame, but only 19 with sucralose. So there are a lot of questions and concerns about sucralose or the Splenda being a chlorinated molecule. And if you look at the name, now I'm going to have to untie my tongue here, because the actual chemical name of Splenda is 1,6-dichloro-1,6-dideoxy-beta-D-fructopyranosyl-4-chloro-4-deoxy-alpha-D-galactopyranoside.
Yeah,
now, would you put anything like that in your mouth?
Yeah, I was going to say, now that sounds like something you want to give your baby, doesn't it?
Right. So we're experimenting with all these substitutes, and 19 studies is not very many studies to have a product out there. And so basically, people right now that are taking Splenda are human guinea pigs.
And we won't know the results for probably a few years when they go, oops.
Exactly. And the same thing really happened with aspartame. When aspartame first was developed, the Food and Drug Administration actually banned it. They didn't want aspartame on the market, because basically what happens is with aspartame, it is broken down into formaldehyde, which causes neurological damage, formic acid, and the aspartame, we know from early studies, causes...
Okay, well, we're going to be back in 3 minutes. We'll talk about aspartame, and let's talk about some of these other experiments like ACT. We'll be right back. Stay tuned to Dr. Andrew Galisek. We'll be right back.